Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 2. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. And what follows, Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 2. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Numbers 19. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, and nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Numbers 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law, which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood with her dung as shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel, for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead, and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. And whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons that were there and upon him that touched a bone or one slain or one dead or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself, and wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean at even. But the man that shall be unclean, and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he had defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. and it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, that he that sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he that toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until even. And whatsoever the unclean person toucheth shall be unclean, and the soul that toucheth it shall be unclean until even. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Rien and Lorraine Ludemann, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou wast brought us up to thy courts, as safely as far as we know, on this Lord's Day morning, wilt thou grant a true acknowledgement, not only with our lips, but may there also be a bowing of our hearts, a low place at thy footstool, a little humility, a little bewilderment for all the blessings which thou wast undeservedly and yet so richly, in the midst of all the trials of life that thou hast bestowed upon us in this past week and in this morning hour. Thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death, and each and every one, from the youngest to the oldest, is lying under the sentence of death. Then thou wast yet made a difference where there is no difference, where also in the past week, on the dangerous and slippery road, it has pleased thee to usher a young person into that never-ending eternity. Wilt thou remember that mourning family, and do remember all the mourning ones amongst us. Lord, then we live in a time of wars and rumors of war. We live in a country where that spiritual warfare continues, where it is declared in thy word that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness, a spiritual wickedness in high places, where that warfare between thy kingdom and the kingdom of the devil that continues in so many ways in our country, and yet outwardly we may still go in and out, Lord. Then we remember that country where a ruthless enemy has invaded, destruction, death, sorrow, many wounded. Ah, Lord, do remember that people, and may they be given to cry unto thee, the living and the mighty God, that thou may remember them, and that the enemy may yet be put to shame. Lord, may it then be all thy goodness that leadeth us and our children to repentance. And now on this Lord's Day, then by renewal thy church may be given to meditate and remember in a special way the suffering and the death of thy dear Son. Ach, Lord, a word that need is still missed for those that can walk so easy upon this world in their unconverted state with such a heavenly high debt and that are not troubled therewith, that are not even trying to pay that debt, but that can so freely add to that debt. Ah, Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may work in this morning hour by thy Holy Spirit, and that their guilt may be brought home. Oh, then surely, then they shall come in a low place. Then they shall be given to cry unto thee, whether there is a way for such a guilty and such a hell-worthy sinner to be saved. Lord, when there have come up such a people in this morning, we have heard it out of thy holy word of all those that were unclean, perhaps a few souls, that have sent a sigh unto thee and says, Lord, thou dost know me, but oh, may it please thee that thou may pardon me of all my sins, that the burden of my sins, that it may be taken away. Ach, Lord, when there is a resting in the knowledge of misery, and when we can continue with that knowledge so easily, then we do well to examine our hearts, whether it is the saving work of thy Holy Spirit, and to that end, may it please thee in this morning and in this season, to open up the mystery of salvation, and that is for the first time, but also to be led further and deeper into those mysteries. Oh, to need the application, to hear it out of thy own mouth. Thou hast said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, Lord. In these dark and serious times, when we hear of so many matters upon the earth, the footsteps of King Jesus are being heard. May we be given to hasten for our life's sake, impress upon the hearts of young and old, that there is one thing needful. Ah, Lord, thou knowest, that we have fallen so deeply, and if thou doth not work, that we are lost and undone forever. But, oh, thou hast promised in thy word that thy word shall not return void unto thee. May it then please thee to magnify thy free and sovereign grace in the hearts of young and old. Lord, then we remember that people in that war-torn country, where many cannot go up to thy house, many that are trembling in their homes, many that have fled, and we may still freely come up to thy house. Ah, may we not all take it for granted, Lord. Then we commend unto thee the young couple who were united in holy matrimony in this past week. It is their first Lord's Day. Ah, may it please thee to make it an unforgettable Lord's Day. Ah, Lord, that shall be so. When thou would convert them, when thou would work by thy Spirit in their young hearts, ah, do grant them a place at thy footstool, where they may continually beg of thee, that thou may remember them when they have begun life's journey together as husband and wife, that thou may remember them for body and for soul. it has pleased thee in the past week to gladden and bless a father and mother by renewal in their married life with the birth of a little daughter. Ah, grant a broken and a humble heart where thou wast spared life, where thou wast given life. And, ah, Lord, may it be a little one for thee, one for thy honor and for thy glory. Well, to further strengthen the mother, well, thou remember the grandparents. Well, thou remember all the mothers with the unborn. And well, thou remember the barren ones amongst us, Lord. We remember all of our elderly ones in the Bethesda with those that may lovingly care for them and those that may still go in and out. Well, thou remember all under the physician's care, those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening, may the means be blessed. Remember our brother deacon that continues to struggle with his back. We commend him unto thee. Remember all the crosses, all the burdens. Lord, may it please thee to help in this morning hour. Thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee for all things. Open thy word, anoint with thy Holy Spirit. May thy word go forth with power divine. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Drive out the buyers and the sellers in an outward way, but also in a spiritual way. Ah, Lord, wilt thou grant that there may be sinners that may become spiritual, completely bankrupt, not a penny to pay, a heavenly high debt, and yet the prayer of the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Impress upon all our hearts that our time is short, that each week that we are a week closer to that final meeting with the judge, and then our sins need to be pardoned in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 244, the first four stanzas. O Lord, through all the generations of the children of our race, in our fears and tribulations, thou wast being our dwelling place. And what follows, Psalter 244, the first four stanzas. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Hebrews 9, the verses 13, the second part, and verse 14, where God's word and our text reads thus: "And the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, as sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Our text words speak how much more so than the sprinkling of the ashes of their bed heifer. Three thoughts. In the first place, the source of these ashes. Secondly, the obtaining of these ashes. And thirdly, the blessing of these ashes. How much more so than the sprinkling of the ashes of the red heifer. The source of these ashes, the obtaining of these ashes, and the blessing of these ashes. Thus first, the source of these ashes. A beloved congregation, we by renewal have arrived at the Passion Weeks, where our forefathers have thought it good and profitable in the midst of the church for the 7 weeks before Good Friday, the Lord's days, and those weeks to, in a special way, to remember, to meditate upon the suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the question, congregation, is when we may begin these Passion Weeks, how is it with our spiritual debt? That is the question. Are we exercised therewith? Has that become a burden, an unbearable burden, our sin that causes separation? Does it bring us many a time at the Lord's footstool? Or do we not give it so much thought, our spiritual debt? And yet we know, congregation, that shall it be well, then that debt that needs to be settled, that needs to be blotted out in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ before we die. Does that thought many times trouble us? May I ask you, congregation, when shall it now be? For most of us, we have already heard so many passion sermons. We have heard how terrible it is to be unconverted. More terrible to die. May it please the Lord to work lovingly, irresistibly by His Spirit. And when we have become troubled, how do we live with that debt? Or are we satisfied that there has been a change, perhaps, a time that we have been troubled? And are we now resting in that trouble? And that we can live quite easily on life's pathway. Then you have many reasons to examine yourself and to bow your knees and ask the Lord to remember you, because it is the work of the Holy Spirit to teach His true people their heavenly high debt, that room may be made in their heart for the precious sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the passion of Christ that is so richly foreshadowed and portrayed in the Old Testament in so many different ways. If we think of the first four books of Moses, then in each of those books, then in a special way, there is a beautiful portrayal of the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we think of the book of Genesis, it is true. Already in Genesis 3, when those animals were killed, and Adam and Eve were clothed with those long coats, after their fig leaves have been removed, already a beautiful passion sermon. But in Genesis, we think especially of chapter 22, when Isaac was laid upon the altar, and that the Lord has given a ram. In the book of Exodus, chapter 12, with the institution of the Passover, where I read in verse 13, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. In the book of Leviticus, it is true in the first seven chapters. In the first chapter, the burnt offering. The second chapter, the meat offering. The third chapter, a peace offering. And the chapters 4 through 7, the sin and trespass offerings. But in a special way, in chapter 16, the great day of atonement. And in the book of Numbers, Numbers 19, a concerning the red heifer. And not so easy to understand, I read in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, that great is the mystery of godliness. But boys and girls, if you now try to listen well, and we shall try to explain it in a simple way, then when your father and mother ask you how it has went with that red heifer, then maybe you can give an explanation. And now the institution of the sacrifice of the red heifer, that was given a different time than the book of Leviticus, because all the other sacrifices, the Passover that was given in Egypt before they were delivered, but all the other sacrifices and the law of Moses that was given when the children of Israel were encamped around Mount Sinai. But now we read at the beginning, the first 10 chapters of Numbers, that the Lord has given commandment that they must leave the mount and that they must travel toward the promised land. But now something very terrible has happened. Our children know what has taken place, that they have spied out the land, and that because of unbelief, that they would have to wander for a total, thus more than 38 years yet, in the wilderness, and that all, with a few exceptions, over 20 years, that they would die in the wilderness. Thus among the children of Israel, then a great change has come. Before, very few funerals. It is true, with a golden calf, 3,000 had been slain, and also before this chapter, in chapter 16, after their sin of unbelief, we read of Dathan, Korath, and Abiram, and of a plague, 14,700, but now under the sentence of death, then every day there were many deaths, on an average even more than 100 funerals every day. And then we have read in this chapter that a people that would touch a dead one, be in the tent, be present with the burial, that they would become unclean. And as an unclean one, they could not come up to the tabernacle. Thus then it is evident that among the children of Israel, that each day and each week, and there were many more reasons, think of mothers that have given birth to a child, for a boy 40 days, for a girl 80 days, then we can understand that in the camp of Israel, that there were many that were unclean. How is it in the congregation of Pitcher Butte? Are there also those unclean ones? And then you shall say, we are all unclean. That is correct, boys and girls. But has that now become a burden? And that our sin that causes separation? But now the Lord, in his great mercy, he has declared to the children of Israel a remedy that they would be cleansed of their uncleanness. And the apostle in Hebrews is given to write, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more so shall the blood of Christ? Thus it is clear that in the Old Testament, and also our red heifer in our text, that it all points to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time. And now concerning that red heifer, then there is a difference in our chapter, in our text words. Because with those other offerings, it is true, had to be a clean animal, one without blemish, one over 7 days old, could not be a wild animal. But then the color of that sheep or goat, that was not signified. But now in our text words and in Numbers 19, then it was specifically mentioned that it had to be a heifer and that it had to be a red heifer. And Jewish writers tell us that a completely red heifer, that was a very rare thing. And if that red heifer had some black or white hairs, then it was disqualified. So undoubtedly, among the children of Israel, there was a looking out in the family circles when parents would have a heifer that was quite reddish, that the boys and girls would say, "Father, do you think our heifer, that it would qualify to be the red heifer that may be sacrificed and that it may be used for a people that is unclean?" Then further we read, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish." Then we think of 1 Peter 1, the verses 18 and 19, where Peter is given to write to the church that we are not saved by corruptible things, by gold or silver, but by a lamb, the Lamb of God, without blemish and without spot. Oh, a red heifer. Then we also read In Isaiah 63, verse 2, wherefore art thou red in thy apparel, and thy garments like unto him that treadeth the wine fat. Oh, that color red. Then we think of the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10, where thou art white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. Then that color red that speaks of guilt, that points to blood. Thus then it is very clear, it is declared in Hebrews 9, but what many beautiful lines were this red heifer, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read specifically, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer. Thus that red heifer had to come from among the children of Israel. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, he has assumed our human nature, and also the people have brought him forth. Oh, the Romans and the Jews, where he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, where they have brought him to the leaders. He has become like unto his brethren. And then further, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. Thus it was a heifer that was not to be used for other purposes, but it was solely for the service of the Lord. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he has declared that it was his meat to do the will of his Father, him that sent him to finish his work, as I read in John 4, verse 34, and John 17, verse 4. Thus, the provision of the Lord for the children of Israel, for those that have become unclean, that could not come up to the worship and to the tabernacle of the Lord, then the Lord has provided a remedy. And we have mentioned the Jewish writers have stated that a red heifer was a very rare thing. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Thus, in the midst of the children of Israel, when they have gathered, then a red heifer was brought. The people have seen it. It was for a special purpose. And that heifer received special value for a people that have become unclean. All we read in our text, how much more so shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Our second thought, the obtaining of these ashes. And boys and girls, you know what ashes are. How do we receive ashes? That is by fire. Then something has to be burnt. And now it is remarkable in this chapter, oh, it tells us the exceeding sinfulness of sin. With the other offerings and sacrifices, we do not read that the priest, when he was given to sacrifice those offerings, that it has made him unclean. But in this chapter, everyone that was involved in any way, we read it many times in this chapter, that all those that had a part with that red heifer, that they became unclean. It tells us the exceeding sinfulness of sin. The word sin in Hebrew, that is chateia, that is a very profound word. that word that speaks of sin itself, the act, that word implies the guilt, it implies the punishment, but it is also the same word that is used for the sin offering. And now we read, and ye shall give her unto Eliezer the priest, not unto Aaron the high priest, perhaps, that Aaron the high priest would not become unclean in this day. And ye shall give her unto Eliezer the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp. Then I think our boys and girls can even understand what a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this heifer that was not slain by the altar and laid upon the altar, but it was led outside of the camp. And so we read of that precious Lord Jesus Christ, symbolizing, typifying that red heifer, that he was led outside of Jerusalem, and there he was slain, there he was crucified. And ye shall give her unto Eliezer the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp. Then you can picture it, boys and girls. The whole camp of Israel, they were present. The boys and the girls, undoubtedly. Then fathers have picked up their little children that they could look and that they could see that red heifer and that they have followed that red heifer outside of the camp. And there they have seen it, that heifer and one, not even the priest, another one was given to kill that heifer before the face of the priest. And then Eliezer, then he had to take of that blood and he had to look. This is not positive, but the thought is, not even one to the tabernacle, that he has sprinkled that blood 7 times before the tabernacle. And that sprinkling of blood that speaks of atonement, the number 7 in the Bible, that is the number of perfection. With other sacrifices, then that blood of that dead animal was gathered. It was sprinkled on the altar and the rest was poured out at the bottom of the altar. Thus then we can understand how bloody it must have been around that altar. Oh, young and old, it tells us of the awfulness of sin, what we have done in paradise and by our actual sins. And it is needful that we become exercised therewith, with that separation that we are given to beg for, beg the Lord for his mercy. And then further, and one seems to be another one. There were many that had a part in the killing of this heifer. Oh, so it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jew and Gentile that have brought Christ before Pontius Pilate. There were the Jews, there were the Romans, there were the leaders, there were the people. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood with her dung shall he burn. That is in a difference with other offerings. Even with burnt offerings, as we read in Leviticus 1, with a burnt offering, then the whole animal had to be burnt. But as such an animal was first skinned, the skin was for the priesthood, and it was cut open and it was washed, and then the whole animal was placed upon the altar and burnt upon the fire. But now this red heifer, then it was not skinned, was not opened up and washed, but the whole heifer was burnt. Thus then we can understand when that heifer was burnt by fire, what a preaching to the whole congregation. But with that skin and that whole animal, then what an awful stench that burning heifer would give. Oh, young and old, it tells us all of the terribleness of sin. When we consider the cross of Calvary, what has taken place, then there were reasons for the earth to tremble. The beloved Son of God, darkness has come upon the earth. Oh, the Son of God has cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But now in the midst of that fire, that it would also give a sweet-smelling Savior, then something special has taken place. That's maybe not so easy to understand, boys and girls, but you can picture it thus far. A red heifer that was brought by the children of Israel was led outside of the camp, and there it was slain. The priest has taken the blood and sprinkled it before the tabernacle, and then the whole heifer was burnt, skin and all. But then they had to do something very special, that fire, that burning heifer would also give a sweet-smelling Savior. Because we read, and the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning fire. So you can picture it, boys and girls. And now cedar, that wood, when it is cut, when it is sawn, that gives a nice smell. Hyssop, that is a plant that also has value in the world of medicine. And scarlet, that is the color of red. Thus, when they have cast those three mad things, cedar, hyssop, and scarlet into that burning fire, then it is also given a sweet smell. What a beautiful type. It says in our text, how much more so shall the blood of Christ, when we think of the cross of Calvary, then we can speak of that cedar as his prophetical office. When we think of those seven cross words, what sweet words for guilty, for burdened sinners. When we think of hyssop, has David not said in Psalm 51 verse 7, wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean, concerning the priestly office of Christ, whereby one offering, as we read in Hebrews 10 verse 14, for by one offering he is perfected forever those that are sanctified. And then when we think of that scarlet, oh, also concerning his priestly office, because do we not read in Isaiah 1 verse 18, come, let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. But that scarlet that also speaks of his kingly office, because in Isaiah 63 verse 3, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Thus Christ, when he has hung on the cross, oh, he was King of the Jews. And has he not exercised his kingly authority? Was the thief on the cross? Was he not converted? Much more so, the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Thus then we see it. the children of Israel, they have beheld it. The red heifer was burnt, cedar, hyssop, and scarlet were thrown in that burning heifer, that it has given a sweet-smelling Savior. Oh, what a preacher. Oh, are there unclean sinners in my midst, burdened with her sin? In the Old Testament, it pointed to Christ, but in the New Testament, how much more so shall the blood of Christ? Do we not read in 1 John 1 verse 7 that the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin, not from most, but from all sin? Oh, then in the Old Testament, concerning that red heifer, what a preaching of the gospel. But now what was necessary for those that were unclean? That the ashes of that heifer, that they needed to be applied. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. A Psalter 91, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5. A God guards the good with watchful eye, His ear attentive to their cry. Against the wicked sets His face, from earth their memory to erase. And what follows, Psalter 91, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5. How much more so than the sprinkling of the ashes of the red heifer? The source of these ashes, the obtaining of these ashes, now thirdly, the blessing of these ashes. Then a clean person was required to gather those ashes of that burnt red heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. Then when we think along, what does that now refer to? When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there were those that have taken the dead body of Christ and laid it in a clean place, a new tomb that has never been used before. And they're kept for the church that the merits of Christ may be applied, because we read, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel. Thus the congregation, they had the responsibility to keep those ashes in a clean place. And so we have the responsibility, us and our children, to keep that old truth, those old ways, as we read in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, for the upcoming generations. Those are the truths of free and sovereign grace and the way that a sinner may be saved. And now concerning those ashes, Jewish writers have also told us, because we can understand when those ashes became few, that a new heifer was needed, and that in the history of Israel, the Jewish writers speak of between 6 and 9 heifers that have been slain for the purpose. But now, this chapter speaks of an unclean people, and then it speaks especially of those that have come in contact with death. Those that have touched a dead body, those that have come in a tent with a dead one, those that have brought him to the grave, all those that were involved with death. Then we also see the Lord's wisdom and goodness concerning the health of the children of Israel, that the Lord has used means to that end, to that end. We even read in the history of the church with plagues that the plagues have been less among the Jews because of sanitary reasons, but now a people that have been in contact with death. And now when the Lord works by His Spirit, then such a soul becomes much exercised with death and with their sin, and with their death, and with their debt. And then it is clear in this chapter that people were not to be so quick to step over death, but that they were to be reminded of the same. Also instruction necessary for us and our children when there is a death in the family circle, that it is very visible that we are a mourning family. In the first place, to remind ourselves, because in the busyness of life, it can be that we are so quick to forget. And also to remind our fellow man that we are a mourning family. And our people that were given to labor under death, have labored with death. They were unclean. But now the Lord in that red heifer, He has provided a remedy that people may be cleansed of their uncleanness. And to that end, we read, even that if they were not purified, and they would come to the tabernacle, that they would defile the tabernacle of the Lord, and then surely, then the wrath of God would be kindled over that people. And to that end, then we read that there was one, a clean person, that for unclean people they were to take some of those ashes, and they were to mingle those ashes with running water. Thus, what a beautiful type we have of the work of grace in the Old Testament in this chapter. Because then those ashes, Christ, he was buried in the grave, but he is resurrected on the third day to apply his merits to his chosen church. But now those ashes, they had to be mixed with running water. And in the Bible, then water is a beautiful type of the work of the Holy Spirit. When we think of Isaiah 32 verse 15, until the Spirit from on high be poured upon us, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted as a forest. Think of that rich, encouraging text in Isaiah 44, the verses 3 and 4. I will pour waters upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon my offspring. Think of Joel 2 verse 28, that in the latter days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Thus water many times in the Bible, that is an emblem of the loving, the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. And now the ashes, they had to be mixed with running water. And then we read in this chapter that it was necessary that one would take hyssop, one that officiated. Then he would take a hyssop plant, and then he would dip that in that running water and ashes, and he would sprinkle them upon the people, upon the tent, and everything that they have touched, and such a one would become clean. And then we read of special things. Then we read of the third day. Oh, when we think of the ashes and the third day, what has happened, boys and girls, with the Lord Jesus Christ, after he was crucified, then on the third day he is resurrected. And now we read in this chapter of the third day that those ashes with that running water, that it would be sprinkled upon them. Do we not read in Romans 4 verse 25, he was raised for our justification. He was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Then we also read that on the seventh day that they would be clean. Ah, the seventh day, that is the Sabbath day, where our text may be declared, how much more so shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Then it was a perpetual ordinances that those ashes needed to be sprinkled. And then that people, then they would be clean, and they were permitted by renewal to join in fellowship with the multitude that kept holy day when they went up to the tabernacle congregation
What think ye of our text? Oh, when the riches declared, how much more so shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, no spot and no blemish, but he has offered himself for an unclean people. He has taken the sins of his church upon him. He has was sacrificed. He has cried out, it is finished. And through those blessed ashes, the meritorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, he has risen. The Spirit has been sent forth that his church may be gathered, that they may be purged. Purge your conscience from dead works. Oh, are there souls with troubled consciences? Oh, that are trying to satisfy the justice of God, but to experience that their own works. Oh, it is true, the Spirit worketh by love, but that they experience, oh, why are they called dead works in our text? That is in opposition to those good works of which we have heard in Lord's Day 32 and 33. Those dead works, they proceed from our deep fallen Adam. And those dead works, they can never satisfy the justice of God. That is the work of the Spirit. But now in our text words, oh, troubled and seeking souls, people of God, what a rich gospel we have in our text of that red heifer without spot and without blemish. Oh, such a singular one. He was led outside of the camp. We read there of in Hebrews 13. Why was he led outside of the camp? That is for a people that have sinned away 1,000 times, worthy to be cast away from the presence of the Lord forever and ever, their rightful place in the bottom of hell. But he was led outside of the camp, that for an unclean and for a burdened people, that they may receive a place in that holy Jerusalem. Oh, then that heifer was burnt, but then we have heard a sweet-smelling Savior. Do I not read in 2 Corinthians 2, the verses 15 and 16, to one a savor of life unto life, another a savor of death unto death. Oh, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was given to write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2:2, that he determined not to know anything save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, then those ashes, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, applied by the Holy Spirit, that a sinner may go free. Ah, for those unclean ones, that have labored with death, then they were cleansed the third day, the seventh day, allowed to come to the tabernacle to be restored to the communion typified in the tabernacle. What a precious gospel. Young and old, is there a need? Because for that heifer, he became necessary, became precious for a people that were unclean, a people that were clean. They had not need of those ashes, but now to be sprinkled with those ashes, mingled with that running water, applied by the Holy Spirit, then that people were restored, and that was for a purpose, not for themselves, but we read in our text, to purge your conscience from dead works. Ah, the church shall learn that no flesh can and shall be justified by works, but only through the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. And Peter has written in 1 Peter 2:7, unto you therefore he is precious. And now the purpose, we read in our text, to serve the living God, young and old, on this first Passion Lord's Day, may we be given to examine our hearts closely. How is it with our sins? How is it with our debts? Ah, when we are not troubled thereof, my unconverted fellow travelers, oh, bend then your knees, even with your lips, and beg the Lord to teach you those wonderful things, to make room, because by nature there is no room for the Savior, for Jesus. What shall we do with Jesus if we are not exercised with our sins? But, oh, people of God, what a rich instruction, and then to examine how far we may come. Ah, for those unclean ones, when they may understand a little thereof, of the riches of that burning heifer, the purpose of that heifer, but also of that cedar, that hyssop, and that scarlet that was cast into that burning heifer. There it is declared that there is salvation for the chiefest of sinners, but now they needed the application of the ashes and of that running water, and the purpose that the soul may be saved, God glorified, to serve the living God. As the psalmist not declared in Psalm 42, as the hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul for thee. Then the psalmist has declared, and thirsteth for God, the living God. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have indeed heard of rich things, undoubtedly for the Old Testament. They have not understood the full riches thereof. Also in the New Testament, then we need the work of thy Spirit to teach us how unclean, how sinful we are, but also that the gospel may be opened and that it may be applied. Ah, Lord, may that take place in this season. Lord, then in this morning we may acknowledge thee that a father who had a serious heart surgery, that may be in thy house in this morning. Ah, Lord, wilt thou grant him a humble and a broken heart, together with his wife and children, and wilt thou grant what we have heard in this morning. Lord, wilt thou remember us this Sabbath day. May we be given to keep it holy. Grant unto the family circles freedom to speak to one another, to read, to sing, to pray. Wilt thou watch over us, over the unsafe roads, and return us in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter 318, the stanzas 4, 6, and 7. In this the day that thou wast made, triumphantly we sing, send now prosperity, O Lord, O Lord, salvation bring, and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a midweek service on Thursday, March 3rd at 7:30 p.m. Catechism classes will resume tomorrow evening, and the banner of truth is at the exit. Psalter 318, the stanzas 4, 6, and 7. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.